Blog Talk Radio. Yes. Alhamdulillah. Bismillah, in the name of Allah. Alhamdulillah. Salatu wa salamu ala Rasulullah. I'm Abad. And I'm greeting you all with Assalamu alaikum. And what I said in English and translation is, in the name of Allah God, okay, all praise and thanks are for Allah God. And may the salutations of peace, may the salutations and praise of peace be upon the Messenger Muhammad, and to proceed. Good evening, everyone. Good evening, everyone. Direct Talk Impact. Yeah, we here today. You know, Point of Impact. This is what we doing. Y'all here with me tonight. We rocking tonight. We about to talk to a fabulous, fabulous person doing some serious work in our community out in North Carolina, who I want to introduce y'all to tonight. So, you know, hang in there with me, man, because we're going to talk about some real direct talk. We're going to have some real direct talk here tonight. And, you know, like we do every night, you know, ain't nothing scripted here. Ain't nothing scripted here. Ain't no, you know, this straight from the head. You know what I'm saying? Straight from the head, yo, straight from the heart. You know what I mean? Speaking about truth. But, you know, it's a lot of things going on in our communities. And I want to give a big shout out to Community Healing and all the people involved in community healing and coming together to try to help people. It's beautiful to see groups like this forming and coming together in a Voltron way to make things better for other people. I want to give a big shout out and love, my love, and respect to Community United Focus, my organization. And I want to give respect to Sadiqa, our treasurer, for her hard work this past weekend. And, you know, and we deeply appreciate everything. And may Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah, the Most High, the one free of the one free of all defects, you know what I'm saying, and wrongdoing. And the Most High, may He reward her. And I want to give a blessing to all the people who participated and aided us, Ms. Sylvia, and Sister Taliba, and all of these people, man, who aided us. It was such a beautiful thing. Sister Leticia, Nicole, Brother Newsom, yo, it was beautiful, man, to come out there and do what we was doing, and to see the people responding the way they... It's nothing more gratifying, man, to see yourself doing something positive. Like, I mean, I did a lot in my life when I was in the streets. I ain't going to front. May Allah forgive me. We're not going to sit here and talk about it. But I did a lot of crazy things in that world out there. But today, you know, it's so rewarding to be able to do the positive things that I'm doing in my community and assisting people. You know, I love it. I love the work, you know, and I love aiding and striving to, you know, give the people something that can benefit them, you know. It's really important to me. It's something that I strive to do, seeking the reward of Allah. You know, that's what I seek. I seek the reward from Allah. You know, I seek to please my Lord. You know, that's what it's about for me. You know, that's how I get down. And, you know, I'm grateful to be able to do it, that I have the faculties and the means to do it. You know, it's hard. It's hard. I come out of my pocket a lot, but it's okay. It's not nothing I'm complaining about, you know, because I would want somebody to do it for me. But we have so many people, man, that you know, out here, and I'm noticing, like, in the seven cities here in the Tidewater area, there's a lot of people out here striving to help people. You know what I'm saying? Brother Bashir is a young man. I want to interview this young man. The name is David. I can't remember his name. Wow, man. I got to get his name. I need to write that down, right? I need to tighten up. But, you know, that's how I do, though. I like to operate like that. But, you know, there's so many good people doing good things. Like, and they're not being, you know, they're not, nobody's talking about that. Every time you turn on the news, all they're talking about is the shooting going on. They're not, you know, they're not talking about the good work that people are doing in the community. You don't hear that on the news. You know what I'm saying, about the people who've been standing out, giving out food and giving clothes out, helping people to find places to live and stay, all kinds of stuff. You know what I'm saying? Helping people through drug and alcohol addiction. You know, they're not talking about these people. You know, they keep pulling up the news talking about all the craziness. You know what I'm saying? All the negativity going on in the community. We need a broadcast that's going to talk about the positivity, you know, and maybe that might have some effect to move things in a positive way. But look, you know, I was suddenly, it just dawned on me something real crazy. Like, you know, many people been killed, right? Black people, right? Were unarmed, didn't have any weapons. But do you know all of these people that have did the crimes of killing these black people were all heavily armed people, heavily armed people. And yet the police, when you investigate, they've killed numbers and numbers of black people who didn't even have a weapon. But here you have all of these offenders who are white, who were heavily armed people, and not near one of them was killed. Not near one of them. They all were arrested. None of them were killed. None of them. And it's just, it's sad to me. And I posted today on my Facebook, you know, injustice is black and white. It is. It is black and white. And it's something that, you know, sadly, we as a people, we continually go through. And I just pray that Allah, you know, aids us and removes us from this criminal behavior, these injustices. And, you know, that's all I can do is make dua, you know, for the people. And it just angers me, man, like, yo, that we, you know, going through all of this injustice, but yet, you know, things are just not coming our way and turning our way. My cousin Trev, peace, man. Alhamdulillah, cuz. I'm glad you're here with us tonight. You know, be sure to call in. Anyone who would like to call in, please call in. And anything, at any time, we would love to have you participate in the conversation. You can dial in at 563-999-3718. That's 563-999-3718. Alhamdulillah. And brother's asking me to send him a link to my podcast. Alhamdulillah. Brother Amin. And I'm going to send it to him right now. So this is, you know, a serious situation, though. Like, so many people are going through some issues. And the thing that we need to understand is that the more we come together and unify to aid one another, the more we benefit and uplift one another. And we can see the community, like you can see the prosperity from people being aided. You can see it. I'm telling you, you can see it. And if you really just take time, you know, I'm telling you, you'll be surprised at how, you know, rejuvenating it is, how uplifting it is, how inspirational it is, and how it'll move you. You know, it will literally move you, man, to get out and see yourself doing something for somebody. You know, it will change your heart. It will soften your heart. You know, in Islam, sadaqa is called sadaqa, charity. It actually purifies the heart. It purifies the soul and the heart. So, you know, because when you're out doing something for someone else instead of yourself, giving that which you love the most, we ain't talking about giving away what you don't need. That's not charity. I don't need this, so I'm going to give it away. That's not charity. Charity is giving away that which you yourself love the most. That's charity. You know what I mean? When you yourself enjoy something or you like something and then you share it with the people or you give it to somebody else that is in need, you know, that's charity. You know, sitting back, I'm going to give them what you don't, I don't like these, so I'm going to get these. That's not charity. That's not charity. I mean, yeah, it's nice that you're giving it to somebody who can use it, but it's not charity. That's not charity, yo. So, you know, we want to be mindful. Like, you know, want for your brother what you want for yourself. Love for your brother what you love for yourself. You know what I mean? Love for your brother what you love for yourself. Treat people the way you want to be treated. The Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, everything that you hear me saying just now, that's the Prophet, that's the message of Allah. May the praise and salutations of Allah be upon him. This is what he said. Love for your brother. You're not a believer until you love for your brother what you love for yourself. Huh? You're not a believer. How can you sit there and say you're a godly person, you're a God-fearing person, but your people, your brother who's in need, you're going to give him what you don't desire. You're going to give him the bottom, and you're going to take the top. Yo, that's selfish. That's selfish. That's real talk. That's not charity. Charity is giving that which you love the most. Share with the people that which you love. And the message of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the praise and salutation of Allah be upon him, he said, treat the people the way that you want to be treated. Treat people the way that you desire to be treated. So you wouldn't desire for somebody to give you that which they don't like or that which they don't want. You would want them to give you that which they desire because you know they're giving themselves the best, so you want the best too. And you should always give people the best. So, you know, keep that in mind. It's just, you know, it is what it is, and you really have to, you know, understand, you know what I'm saying, that these are the things that go on. Like, you know, everyone, please try to really take time to do something in your day that is going to benefit you in this life as well as the hereafter. Please, take time to do something that's going to benefit you in this life and in the hereafter, and that's going to benefit your family, and that's going to aid, you know, your community, you know, and this is what we all should be striving towards, you know, this is what we all should be striving towards. It's not easy getting out here and you see people going through what they're going through, but you have to strive to, you know, do the best that you can to aid people. If you notice, I'm also texting because people are calling me, and some people are calling me after I just told them I'm going on a podcast. Ain't that like I'm getting ready to do my podcast? You know? But my mom is reaching out to me, and I definitely got to answer her. You know, y'all know how Mom Dukes is, right? So we got to reach, you know. So I got to hit her back and let her know that, you know, I'm on my podcast. You know, and it's just, it is what it is, you know, but this is what we go through. And I told everyone I was on my podcast, but yet I just got three phone calls from people I just told them on my podcast, like, you know, but alhamdulillah. You know how it is. Everybody wants your attention. It's something else. Yeah. But, you know, there's a lot going on in our communities that's positive. And I just, this is what Point of Impact is all about. You know, bringing you to understand that, hey, there's things going on in the community. That you need to know about. There's people who are doing these things in the community that you need to know about. And I'm telling you, the crazy thing about it is, it's the people that they said wouldn't be the ones to do it that are doing it. It's the people they said wouldn't be the ones to step up. They're the ones stepping up. You know what I'm saying? And that's crazy, you know, because I was one of those people. I was one of those individuals that they said wouldn't make it or wasn't going to be a part of the statistics. Alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum. My wife just joined in. Assalamu alaikum. And I love you too, Tina. Blah. So, you know, these things, people, we need to know, right? And that's what I strive to do with Point of Impact Podcast. I strive to inform people, you know, about what people are doing and making you aware so that you can, you know, it may inspire you to do something. It may, you know, majority right now, my guest, majority of this young lady, Shani, is my first female guest, a solo female guest. Now, I had my brother-in-law and my sister on last week, and she was my actual, well, that was the week before. She was my actual first female guest, my sister, Tamara. But this young lady is going to be the first female guest on my show. And I felt exclusively necessary to bring her on because of what she's doing. And I had to introduce you to her. I had to introduce you to this person because this woman is doing work that, man, I desire to do. And I know that if she can do it, then many of us can do the same thing. And we need more programs like what this lady is doing in the community because this is what helps build strong, reliable, resourceful men in our community. I mean, the only thing that we have inherited as a people, I don't know if you know it or not, is the penitentiary. That's all we inherited from this land. You know, assalamu alaikum, Sadiqa, assalamu alaikum. You know, thanks for joining us tonight. I mean, the only thing we inherit, we ain't got, you know, no plots of land and, you know, very, very few African Americans, excuse me, y'all. Very few African American black people own plots of land, right? Very few, right? The percentage is very low, right? Matter of fact, last week I'm gonna have the percentage for you, inshallah. I'm gonna strive to look up how many, you know, just what is the percentage of black landowners in the United States. And I guarantee it's gonna be significantly low compared to white privileged people who had slaves, who had commodities and land and things like that that we don't have. So when brothers come out of prison, it's very difficult for their families to enable them and assist them, you know, in the manner that they can uplift them and get them on their feet. Now, I've been home for a year, and I'm going to tell you something. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward my family for supporting me, holding me down, doing all that they can do for me. And all my companions, all my sahaba and my sahabat, all my male companions and my female companions who all try to assist in giving me a helping hand to stand firm. Like, it's amazing. But it's hard because, like, you know, for them, they're struggling themselves to pay bills and keep their lives organized and in order, you know? And then when a grown man comes home and he don't even have a pair of underwear, more or less a job or food to feed himself or a roof to put over his head or a car to push or, you know, like, that's difficult. That's difficult. And we, you know, have to really strive to create programs that will help to build a firm foundation for our men and women who are coming home, who are returning citizens, to be able to get out here and be successful as much as they can. I salute our organization, Black Connection. I salute Chanel Ketchmo and for her program. And I salute these people because they're out along with this young lady, Shawnee, doing what they do. And that Black Connection, that's Sandra Wilson, and my brother Khalid Karim. I salute these people because they are working hard. I salute Paul Taylor, Sakeem. I salute Shaquille Ali. I salute these people, you know, for their hard work. I salute Azeem, who's out there right now. He's been traveling, speaking to the youth. You know, I salute these people. You know what I'm saying? Alhamdulillah, Brother DJ, assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you for joining us tonight. You know, I salute these people. And everyone who's on the video, please join us on the podcast at 563-999-3718. That's 563-999-3718. I like, you know, I was thinking about, I'm trying to maybe move the podcast to another venue, but I really like doing it on Facebook, and I enjoy, like, doing it in the manner in which I'm doing it, but there's so many different organizations. Oh, the sister, I got to salute her, too. Sister, she's going to be on our show. Let me pull her up real quick. Because you guys are going to meet her, too. She's a... Uh-oh, we got our guest coming on. We got our guest, Biku Shabazz. And we thank you, sister, for what you're doing. Our guest is coming on. Do we have our guest now? Hello, Miss Shawnee? Hello? Are you there?
Hello, how are you? I'm here.
Oh, salam. How you doing, sister? Yeah. Yo, you have me nervous for me. You have me nervous for me.
I told you. I called in at 7:25 on the dot.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful to have you here today. You know, it's a beautiful thing. You know, Shawnee, you want to tell the people your full name, please?
Sure. I am Shantanika Brooks.
Shantanika Brooks. And, you know, I was busy throughout the show. I was telling people a lot about what you do and things. But before we get to talking about that, I want to tell the people how I met you. Is that okay? Is that all right?
That's fine. That's fine.
I met this young lady. There's a young man. His name is Jaquil. And he called me. He reached out to me, and he's seeking help and assistance. And he's trying to, you know, get out of the prison, out of the prison system. And he's working real hard. And he reached out to me because he's trying to put together a conditional pardon and to get assistance. So anybody who would like to help in assisting this brother, please reach out to me or Sister Shawnee. Once we get, we will give you information on how you can reach both of us to assist this brother if you have any means of assistance. But, and he told me that, you know, Miss Shawnee was his representative, and that anything I needed about his case, I can call her. So I was like, okay, I'm thinking this is an attorney or something. You know what I'm saying? So I happened to, you know, reach. Matter of fact, I didn't call her. She called me. And she called me up, and we started talking. I come to find out that the sister is not an attorney. She's a person who is just out here like any ordinary person, trying to help people in the best of manners and the best of ways. So now I'm going to let you tell Ms. Shawnee, what is exactly that you do to help brothers that are in this situation of Jaquil?
One of the things I do, I have a nonprofit, which is a Prospective New Day Reentry and Rehabilitation Incorporated. And under that umbrella, what we do, we assist with the stimulus checks. We had a stimulus check
right.
initiative, and we assisted probably about 150 men and women from North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia.
Wow.
I had one guy in Kentucky as well. That I assisted.
Okay.
And the other thing is we do what we call like a second look. And what that is if
okay.
you're incarcerated, and especially in Virginia, you know, when they abolished parole back, I believe it was 95, a lot of guys
right.
start getting life sentences. And
yes, ma'am.
And it was unfortunate because a lot of the things they were charged for, it really didn't warrant a whole life sentence. But one guy in particular, I met Jaquil through another guy that I've known since high school, well, actually since middle school, who was actually locked up in the system in Virginia, and he's done about 26 years already. And and so I was looking into his case. His case really moved me because he said after he was sentenced, his attorney just dropped him. There was no appeal. There was nothing. And so, you know, him being a young guy, he had no knowledge of what to do, who to reach out to. His family didn't know nothing. And so, you know, years go by and, you know, habeas corpus, you know, he don't reach all his time limits, his, you know, everything. And so here I come. His family had never seen his paperwork and whatnot. And so when I come on the scene, I'm having them to go up under the records and dig his files up from up under the ground where they keep them in Virginia. And so, you know, I got his paperwork and all that kind of stuff and just looking at loopholes, what could have done. And I have other people who are attorneys who volunteer to take a look at these cases. And I'm actually working on like an internship with a couple different schools. Just I'm not going to say their names because we're just trying in the beginning phases of trying to get this collaboration together. But have some interns to come in and really help with this project on a larger scale. Because I'm one person, I can only do so much. But
But you one person, but you're definitely doing a lot of arms. You got a lot of arms. listen, I'm not gonna kid you. Like you have a lot of arms, and you're doing a lot of work to be one individual. So I definitely want to applaud you, and I definitely want to salute you for being the example to many of us that we need to be. And I thank you so much for that. You know, that's why I had to have you on the show tonight. Can you tell me now what else? Like now, you the one thing I want to really touch in on, but you have two homes, and what are you doing in the homes?
So I have two transitional homes here in Greensboro, North Carolina, a Perspective New Day Incorporated, the Victory House, and I'm just in the process now of opening my second house and whatnot. So what I do, I'm actually contracted through the state to provide housing for men getting out of prison. And so what that looks like is, you know, they contact DPS, let them know they have a person coming home and, you know, they ask for, you know, housing. And so once that person is approved and if I have room, they send them to my house. And that person has a bed for about 90 days. And if an extension needs to happen, then, you know, we look into that and maybe extend it once or twice. But what we do here in the house, a lot of men getting out of prison, they only come with their prison ID, a copy of their prison ID. So one of the things I have to do once I get them in is I give them, like, a proof of residence letter from my company on letterhead. And and then I take them down to DMV. To get IDs, and if they need, like, birth certificates or something, because one of the things, my goal is to get them completely independent before they leave.
So they send these guys to you, knowing that these guys are getting out and not having the sufficient identification and certificate to be able to move. So they actually send them from the reentry program home to you, without these proper IDs?
Yeah, I mean, everyone that I know, unless they had family that had their ID or something when they got locked up. Yeah, everyone I've seen come with a copy, just a paper copy of their prison ID. And the good thing it works, you know, is It's good. That's all they need, and a proof of residence to get their North Carolina ID, state ID, and whatnot. Right. So that's one of the hurdles we knock over. Like I said,
process? Is that process sometimes long, or is it? Does it? You know, how long is the process for them to get their ID.
Well, fortunate enough, in Greensboro, we have like, I guess we can consider it like a satellite DMV office at our Amtrak station allows people to get IDs. They have to wait on a long line, sometimes it's about 3 hours. And, you know, they'll wait 3 to 4 hours just to get, you know, to get their ID. But, of course, it's still a 2-week turnaround for the ID to get their hard copies to come to them through mail. But normally, if we didn't have this satellite, the appointments are like a month out. And, you know, we're working on borrowed time here. So, you know, we don't have that time to wait a month just to get an ID. So, you know, I think Greensboro did an amazing job with just having this satellite, you know, situation going on.
Yeah, because when I came home, and I was kicked out of the prison. I was kicked out, and they had 45 minutes to get me out the prison. So even though I was in a reentry program, I came home. I had my birth certificate. I had my prison ID, but I had no ID. And it took me at least 2-3 months before I was even able to get my identification. I got out in December. I was not able to get my identification until March.
Oh, wow.
March, literally. So between that time period, I was stuck going to job interviews and things with a paper identification from parole and probation. You understand? And that's not sufficient. That's not sufficient for a lot of things, but, you know, I was able to get through. So now, listen. You don't just have a transitional home. You doing something different. You doing something different. And I had the opportunity to witness you and what you do. Like, I witnessed you feed these guys. Take them. You drive them to work. Drive them to work. You drive them to job interviews. You take them to get clothes, you buy, like, sister, like, that's not what most people do with transitional homes. So I'm trying, what inspired you to be this nurturer to these men and this backbone for them? Like, where did this come from?
Well, I've always been a nurturer. I've always been like the mama bear to everybody, even as a kid and whatnot. But to make a long story short, I'll start at the beginning. When I was about 14 years old, all the guys, you know, I used to talk to so many guys who were, you know, selling drugs and just getting in trouble. I was just the easy person to talk to. And they would tell me things, man, that would just, you know, shake the normal person up, for real. And it was so bad until I'll never forget, you know, I was always a church girl. So I never forget going to church. And my pastor at the time, he was prophesying to me. And he said, Sean, he said, you know, you draw a lot of guys. He said, and these guys tell you things that no one else knows. And he said it's so bad that if the FBI came, he said they'll probably charge you for the stuff that you know that you never told, you know, told anybody about.
I
was always a listener. And so one day, one of the guys, I was 14, he was like my big brother. He lived, you know, in the hood. He was the oldest of like four brothers. You know, his parents were, you know, disabled. And so, you know, he was out trying to get fast money to help the family. And I told, he had gotten locked up, and I told him, I said, you know, why don't you just try to, you know, try to go to work so you can get out of that pattern? Because he really wanted to.
Right, right. Changed his lifestyle.
Yeah. And he kept, you know, he kept trying and trying and trying until it became overwhelming to him, and he just felt like he wanted to kill himself.
Yep.
And so, one Sunday morning, I'll never forget it. One Sunday morning, I was headed, ready to go to church, and my phone rung and he was crying. This guy, I told you, I was like 14, he was 22. And I was like, what's wrong, bro? And he was like, you know, I'm just tired. And he said, I just want to kill myself. He said, I'm going to kill myself. And I said, no. I said, where are you? And he told me he was home. And I said, well, listen, I'm on my way. And I couldn't drive. So I was like, Mama, can you take me over, you know, his house? He said, girl, I ain't strong enough. Call Mother Bond, you know, shout out to her. And I called her. And we drove over there. And I took the gun out of his hand, and we began to pray for him.
Wow.
And
wow.
And that day, you know, as I was driving away, you know, riding away, and I was like, Lord, you know, I see the pattern. And I know I'm only a kid, but I want to be a part of the process to help bridge the gap between employment and people who've been incarcerated. And, you know, it was a long road. And I also remember telling God that I didn't want to just, you know, learn from a book standpoint, but I wanted to understand what it was that they went through. Now, mind you, I didn't know what the heck I was saying, but I just knew that I wanted to be able to have a sincere empathy for these guys. And so from 14 on up into 40, I'm 43 now, I went through a whole lot of things. And anyone that knows me know I've always been a giver, a kind person, just a real cool person, man. And so, and I've never been like a thief or none of that stuff, but I end up, I was working for the police department and I ended up getting charged with 7 felonies.
Wow.
You know, no, the 6 felonies.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I end up losing everything for something that I didn't do. That's why it's important, you know, your association with people. Man, have the right people on your side because, you know, being associated with somebody got me charged with 6 felonies. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And, so that was the beginning of my encounter with the justice system. And and whatnot. And so that was just horrific because I was working for the police department. And I'm like, y'all, if I was gonna be a criminal, don't you think I know what not to do? I'm working here for 5 years at the police department, doing 911. I help y'all set up scenes and, you know, help them, you know, I was real good with pulling up the maps and stuff and adding the layers so they can actually get a better view of how to go and do these things. And so, you know.
And now here you are on the other side of the fence now.
Right. Wow. And I'll never forget that day in my life, dude. I was off work and one of the detectives said, hey, Sean Tanika, I really need you to come down to the police station. I'm like, why? You know, I'll be back to work Monday. He's like, no, I need to come down here. And I said, well, what it got to do with it? He said, your storage. And I'm like, oh, my God, because my house had just got broken into. So I moved all my stuff to storage. Okay. And I'm like, my mind's saying, oh, my God, somebody broke into my storage. And, you know, when you get to a detective's office, you know, they have this folder up there on the desk. And I'm like, you know, what that got to do with me? You know, that move that they do on the shows where they open up the folder and they walk away. I was like, wait, this looked too much like real on TV. And then I saw my picture. And I'm like, what in the world? And I saw receipts, and I'm like, oh, my gosh.
What?
I can't even that whole story itself is going to be in my book that I'm writing. So, you know, be on the lookout for that. Because
we got to get you on top of that book. We got to get you on top of that book. Cause you got a lot, to tell the people. So let me ask you something. So most of the guys that come to your program, what do you, you know, what type of other things? I know you do help them find jobs. What is it that you actually, you know, what is the expectations and what is it that you, you know, you strive to aid them with when they come into your program?
You know, honestly, the one thing over anything I really want them to know is that someone really cares and they really got their back and that I really love them, you know. And because so many of them, you know, might not have had a past or family that really showed show them that they care, you know, or really show them love, you know, for whatever reason.
Okay.
You know, some may not have known how to love because they might not have had love in their past, you know. So I want them to feel loved and feel that somebody got their back and, you know, feel that someone's really in their corner. And that I'm their cheerleader, and I'm rooting for them every day, you know. And one of the things I tell them when they come here, you know, I say, listen, everybody on the outside of that door, you know, they gunning for you. They, you know, they not trying to help you like that, you know. But when you come in here, this is a safe place. You know, this is a safe place.
Right.
If you need to cry, then you cry. Then you got, you know, you got six or five other brothers that's going to be here to help you out. If you don't know how to do something, it's okay. Say, I don't know how to do it, or I need help. And, you know, now I have a household of black men. And so, you know, I say, you know, black men sometimes, we don't, men in general are just stubborn sometimes. And they don't want to say that they don't know how to do something. And so, you know, and they'll tell you, when you talk to one of my guys, they'll tell you, I'm like Mama Bear. I get down to the nitty-gritty now. I put it to them real. But
I witness, yes.
At the end, I always want them to know that everything I'm saying to you is really out of love. I'm not trying to tear you down or embarrass you or none of that kind of stuff. I just want you to understand the importance of, you know, what it is I'm trying to relate to you. But I want them to know that they are capable of becoming who it is they really want to be. And I tell them, I don't care how many times you've been in and out of prison, this is your official second chance. You know, and this is your official second chance because you got out five times, you might not have had a Shawnee in your corner, you know.
That's right. This is your official second
chance, you know. And I just want them to know that they're loved and that they have somebody who's going to really fight for them and help them, you know.
Well, it's truly extraordinary because when, you know, you come into a program like that, a transitional house, most transitional houses are halfway houses. You do not get fed. They do not find you a job. They don't have nobody trying to help you get your identification and all that. They don't have those, you know, and they just have a house monitor. You know, somebody who monitors you in their house. So, I mean, it's extraordinary just to know that you have a program like this established. And once again, I salute you tremendously. And you're like a sojourner for these men, you know, and taking these men through the wilderness by the hand and striving to aid them towards a better life. You know what I'm saying? And may Allah, God, continue to reward you and bless you. Because we need sisters like you in our community, and I thank sisters like you in our community. Because there are other sisters like yourself, and we're gonna meet some more of them on this show, Point of Impact. But right now, it's such an honor to have you as the actual. You are my official. Actually, you are my official first solo black female on the show. Okay.
Oh wow.
That's amazing. Yes, ma'am. And it was a mercy from Allah God when I had an opportunity to meet you and know your story and know what you were doing to be able to bring you onto this show. It's amazing. I'm so honored because, you know, people like you, we don't know. I was just telling, you know, the audience on the Facebook, you know, I'm live on Facebook, and I was just telling them before we came on, 10 minutes before we came on, how, you know, there's so many people doing great works in our community. But when you turn on the news, they ain't talking about those people. They're not talking about the Santanikas. They're not talking about the good works that so-and-so is doing and Fulan is doing in his community. You see?
Mm-hmm.
And this is the sad thing because this is what we need to hear about our community. Because, see, we need to hear solutions. We need to hear, you know, the constructive activities that are taking place. You understand? But when you keep polluting the mind with negativity, that's what the mind perceives. You know, when you raise it, you know, when you raise a child and you nurture that child with positivity, and you take children and you put before them on a screen positive reflections, then you know what I'm saying, and things that they can positively register in their thought pattern, okay, their process is positive. But when you keep putting negative suggestions, subliminal suggestions in their mind, then guess what? Their suggestive thoughts are negative. And this is what happens in our community. You know, and we need, and that's why Point of Impact is so important to put, inform people and in, and introduce people to people like yourself, sister. And I'm grateful to say that you are a dear friend to me. I love what you do. I'm grateful to and honored to have you as an associate and a companion. And I thank you so much. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Do you have one of your young men there? Are any of the guys there with you?
I do. I have one of my. He's the second youngest person that's been at my house, and he's an extraordinary guy.
Okay. And can we meet him? Can we speak to him for a second?
Absolutely.
Hello.
Okay. Yeah, how you doing? Hey. How you doing, soldier? Peace, man.
Doing fine. Blessed. Doing awesome.
What's your name, man?
My name is Bluford.
Bluford? Okay, that's what people know you by? Bluford?
Well, but a lot of people call me Blue.
Okay, Brother Blue. Okay. Well, my name is Malad. I'm the host here on Point of Impact. Derek Hansford is my name my mother gave me, but all my friends and everybody knew about Minhaj Malad, okay? Hey, listen, man, I want to thank you for giving me an opportunity to talk to you on the show. Can you tell us how long have you been in Ms. Shawnee's program?
Well, I got here on October the 10th, and almost 2 months.
Okay. And what is this program done for you in the perspective of motivation and inspiration for you to move in a different direction in your life?
Wow. It's changed. It's completely changed the game for me. I've had some. I'm very fortunate because I did have a background of certain accomplishments, and a family that supports me. But I was running into a certain wall that I found myself getting in trouble with the law. And when I was able to find out, I didn't find out about this place. I was recently incarcerated. And I found out about this place near the end of my deal. And like the week that I was coming out, I found out about. And I think she had just started like either that week or the week prior or something like that. I prayed about it. It's just like a blessing. So when I got here, at that time I was 3 months sober.
Okay.
And that was very beneficial for me. This place here, it gave me an opportunity to focus on me in a way that I hadn't been able to when I've been with my family. And so in that, I've been able to key into what I've been struggling with through her help and encouragement has been golden. Like, once we get here, I got my food stamps taken care of. I got some credentials trying to check my health care out. Started looking for work at the with reentry and the different temp agencies around. And I've been working at Ralph Lauren for like a month now, and I haven't been late. Wow. And I go to work at 5 a.m. and I haven't done that before. So
wow.
I've been able to I've been able to plan and see restoration of the dreams I had for my future in ways that they were kind of blind before. So it's and then also like I had with my mental health, I've been able to get tied in with the situation here. My probation officer and her work very closely, so I have two advocates that want to see me do well.
That's what's
and
up.
She's
wow.
actually been even more than just the services she mentioned. She's been an ear, and a confidant to help me kind of
mm-hmm.
understand certain things that I've struggled with when I hadn't had an ideal situation to talk to certain people. So I'm 43 as well, and we have some younger gentlemen here, and it's great.
So are you the oldest?
Now I'm.
Are you the oldest in it? Are you the oldest
gentleman in the
house right now? Okay.
No, I'm not the oldest. Maybe second oldest.
Yeah.
My roommate's the oldest, but
okay.
I've been able to kind of find my voice of leadership again. And trying to lead by example.
That's right.
And so that's
wow.
It's very encouraging. So I'm going on 5 months totally clean and sober. Just moving in a positive direction. So,
well, brother, I mean, from what I'm hearing, Brother Blue, like you definitely got your direction, and you definitely have made some changes in the condition of your heart. You know, one of the things I talk about a lot is people, you know, reconditioning their heart. You know, I try to remind people, and most importantly myself first, that your heart, you know, you got to clean it up, man. Can't expect the rest of your body to get right if your heart ain't right, because your heart fuels every aspect of your being. You understand? And if your heart is not clean, then how can you expect your hands to be clean? How can you expect your eyes to be clean? How can you expect your feet to walk you somewhere that's clean? You see, if your heart is entwined in filth and nastiness, and then guess what? Your whole body and everything you do gonna be entwined in it. You know, and man, when I just listened to you, man, I was very inspired and very, very encouraged, and I just, you know, you encourage me because, I too am a returning citizen. I just came home myself after 25 years, and I came home December 17, 2020. So I identify with your struggles, brother. I also am a person who was addicted to drugs and alcohol, you know what I'm saying? So I know that struggle, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you something. I've been, working very hard with brothers like yourself, and I'm going to tell you something. We all out here succeeding. We all out here succeeding, man.
Yes,
when everybody said that we couldn't do it. You know what I'm saying? When they said we couldn't do it.
Amen.
And I just want you to know that you're succeeding, man. And I'm proud of you, brother. And I salute you, brother. I salute you. And I want you to know that you have our support here at Community United Focus, Point of Impact. We're here for you, man. And I want to thank you for even giving me an opportunity to meet you and allowing
my
audience
pleasure.
To meet you.
Pleasure.
You know,
absolutely.
Right now I want to return back to Sister Shawnee, and I want to thank you again, man. And I hope that Allah continues to reward you, because you are definitely an inspiring young man. And I'm looking forward to hearing some great things about you.
Thank you. Blessings to you.
Okay. You're welcome, brother.
Oh,
Ms. Shawnee, yo.
Yes.
Well, you're about to make me cry over here. You know that?
Blue about to make me cry. I was like, look, don't make me cry, man. Don't. I had to put my head down.
Well, we've we both cry babies because I'm gonna tell you, it's just, you know, the thing that I get out of it is because, you know, people always, you know, as black men, we have so many struggles ahead of us. You know what I'm saying? And I can hear in that brother, man, I can hear his joy. You know, I can hear his joy just to, you know, to know that he's living life on terms today that he's agreed with and that he feels good with, you know. And I know that feeling. I know that vibe, you know. And it's beautiful, you know. I was told by my wife not to cry tonight, but I can't help it. It's like, you know, it's really real inspiring, you know, because people don't understand the struggles, you know. And let me rephrase that. People do understand the struggles. We also, you know, we all identify, like, majority of, and believe this or not, statistically, more than half of our community knows and understands the struggle of addiction.
Oh, yeah.
You understand? And then I'm going to tell you another sad point is that over 78% of our community has suffered and knows the understanding and the pains of some type of judicial, you know, a supervision, either through prison, probation or parole. You know, our community, 78% of our community is at and has at some time experienced, you know, what it is to be under some type of supervision. And so we do identify. And the thing of it is that even if we haven't, someone of our family, someone near us, our loved ones, or someone like that has experienced such supervision. And for these young men to be able to have the mercy and blessing of coming to your house, sister, is truly a mercy. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And anything I could do, you know, I'm down for you. I'm down for you all the way. You understand? You know that. I'm 100% down for you, man. Like, and 100%
and more. Thank you.
You know?
Oh, man.
I'm looking forward to doing some joint work with you, like we discussed.
Yes.
And I've never trusted anyone like I trust you in doing the work that you're doing. Like, you are so, it's beautiful. And, Shawnee, thank you so much for all you do. You know, okay? And I can't even say it enough, you know?
Oh, man.
And it's just crazy.
Thank you. You know, I have to thank God for, you know, for giving me the heart that I have and for giving me this
That's
opportunity
right.
because it, excuse me, if he wouldn't have opened the doors for me, this wouldn't have been,
That's right.
been possible. And if I wouldn't have listened to his voice and stepped out on faith, excuse me, stepped out on faith, you know, this, what I'm experiencing, what they're experiencing and what you're experiencing, it wouldn't have been possible. So I give
right.
all praise and honor to God for
That's
doing
right.
this, you know.
That's right. That's right.
I'm thankful
right.
myself.
Thank you. Yeah, you're doing a wonderful job, sister. And right this at this moment, is there anything that you, like, can you tell the people would you like to tell people how they can contact you if they're seeking your assistance or something?
Absolutely. I have a little website. I just got oh, my gosh, I wasn't prepared to even share that. But I am on Facebook. My business page is A Prospective New Day Incorporated, which is INC, on Facebook.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, you can definitely find me there. And up there on that page, there's my contact information, my email address, which is sbrooks@aprospectivenewdayincorporated.org. You can reach me here at the Victory House at 336-230-5643. 877. That line comes directly to me. Inbox me. I'm fairly new at this, so I'm actually just getting all my social media and everything together. That's what I gave you as a starting point.
Okay. And thank you. And anyone who'd like to further know it, the show does continue on. And after tonight, you can link on Facebook. You would be able to go on my page. You'd be able to link on. And if you happen to miss the information that she gave you, the contact, then you can link on and come back again and check it. Just to know that you're impacting people's life, like, you know, that Brother Blue, man, he spoke direct talk, and that's what we about. And, you know, from that direct talk, I just got so much energy from him, like, just to vibe and know that, you know, you doing what you're doing, you know, and how it's impacting people. You told me before about, like, you have the virtual thing that you do. And I listen to all the different things that you do, like, you know, to help these guys, and I'm like, man, this is amazing. And you don't realize, like, you're really doing a lot. You're doing a lot, like, tremendous work. And I envy you in a praiseworthy way. I really do. In a praiseworthy way. You know, because you're doing everything I want to do, and I was telling the audience earlier that I'm actually a student. I'm listening and I'm taking notes and I'm paying attention, you know, because I'm trying to learn from this knowledge and wisdom of this woman, and how I can be, you know, incorporated in doing things to help people and change their lives. So at this moment, we're going to take a little 3-minute break, you know what I'm saying, and we're going to come back. And hopefully we got some callers in. And if anybody would like to ask Sister Shawnee, I call her Shawnee, anything you like to call and ask her, please call in. And if anything that you'd like to add as, you know, some advice or any information you'd like to provide to assist, like anything that you'd like to say, just dial 1. Just dial 1 right now. Or if you're on Facebook and you're listening, then you can go to 563-999-3718. That's 563-999-3718. That's 563-999-3718. Okay? This is live. We ain't doing no clipping and tripping.
Shout out Young Swiss.
It's been been 2 years and we still running.
Oh.
To get them butterflies when I see you coming. It's funny how life all works. You gotta open up your heart to operate to see how life works. When there's rain showers, the sun shines again. Gotta weather every storm just to sail again. I know the time is now, I gotta do official. I'm down on one knee, I hope you need a tissue. Do you take me for eternity? And make a pinky promise that you never leave. Even when you're mad at me, just don't up and leave. The future is scary, I don't wanna see. My life without you will be a tragedy. When I wake up in the mornings, you will wanna see. I'm sorry, babe, there's so much that I wanna say. First, let me ask you, will you marry me?
Oh my God, I'm seriously about to cry right now. Are you serious?
Baby, you know that I love you. I want you to know that I love you.
I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do.
Yeah. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Allahu Akbar. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah. And Allah, God, is the greatest. Yo, Miss Shawty?
I'm here.
Okay.
Hello.
I want to see. Okay, Jay Sean, do we got anybody up there? I know somebody up there want to say something to the system, man.
Nobody pushing one at this time.
Okay. As I said, if you're on Facebook and you're viewing me, press one to speak and ask any questions that you might want to ask, or any advice, or any words of incentive that you might just want to give to the sister, man, for assisting and helping us, you know, and helping the people and, you know, support the sister. You know, words of incentive are truly, everybody can need that. You know what I'm saying? And everybody does need it because Shawnee, like all other human beings, she has her issues, you know, and struggles in life too. But, yes, she's taking time to aid somebody else. So, you know, if it's something positive you want to say to the sister, this is a good time to say it. And so, Shawnee, what else? You know, you have businesses too, though, don't you?
Yeah, I have a call center.
Okay. See, I told you got many arms. Didn't I tell you that? Okay. And your mother. You're just doing it. But that's, I'm going to be honest, this is what our sisters do. Our mothers, the black women have always been, you know, the bearers of our community. They carry the torch and they hold it down. And we, you know, as black men, we catching up and we taking our place. We taking our stand. I can definitely say that, you know what I'm saying? And I'm proud of, you know, I can definitely say that today, the black men of our community, they doing what they got to do. It's just that we're not hearing about it. So, if we're not going to get anyone to call in, you know, we're going to close tonight's show. As I said, we would. I have an appointment. I have to tend to a beautiful mother that I have and allow her some time of her day. Miss Shawnee, I don't know the words to say of how appreciative I am of you to allow me to interview you today and have you on my show. But I will say that it's been a true honor and privilege. And I give praise to Allah for your kindness and your generosity and just for allowing me to be somebody that you respect and appreciate. And I thank you, ma'am, okay?
Oh, man, thank you, you know, because this is my first official interview. This is my first interview. I've Zoomed it, Zooms and stuff with different people, but never an interview. And so, you know, this is making history for me. So I'm just as excited and thankful as you are. So, you know, thank you for even thinking enough of me to invite me to your platform. And I'm very humbled by all the kind words that you've spoken. And and whatnot, you know. So thank you so much, man.
Well, I didn't speak nothing of truth. I spoke all truth here. And, you know, one of the things, I mean, we all have, you know, we all have shortcomings or whatever, but, you know, I've just, you know, this show is about real people, you know, having direct talk and, you know, direct about the issues going on in our lives and things that we're trying to help other people through issues in. And Point of Impact is just about that. It's about, you know, dealing with the issues that impact our community, because we're at a stage where, in a point in our lives, where right now we are, I think we are more aware and conscious today than we've ever been, you know, as a people, as a nation of people, you know. And, you know, I'm just very proud to have had you on my show tonight as the first solo woman on my show. Thank you so much. And I want you to be safe, and I want you to continue to do the work that you're doing, and anything that I, in my broadcast can do, Point of Impact, and my nonprofit Community United Focus, please, I'm looking forward to working with you, sister. I'm looking forward to coming out there and doing some things with you.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and getting together and impacting some people's lives together, okay?
Absolutely.
And,
absolutely.
So I'm gonna let you get back to your family and your guys. And, you know, I want to thank you again. And just be safe and be careful out there, okay? And to the audience,
okay, you too.
We want to thank you all for joining us tonight. This was a wonderful interview. We want to thank Mr. Blue again. It was a pleasure meeting that young man, and truly inspiring brother.
Yeah.
And we wish nothing but pleasure's the best
mine.
For him.
Pleasure's mine.
Alhamdulillah. I know you're going to excel, brother. You're going to continue to do something, and you know, I'm looking forward. I'm going to talk to you again, Blue, and sometime I'm going to call and maybe me and you can talk, you know, and I got some things for you that maybe you might be interested in. But everybody, our audience, I want to give a big shout out and love to my brother Randy J. Sean Jackson for holding us down as always. My fam, you know, 17th Ave, to all my peoples, you know what I'm saying, all my brothers from 17th Ave, I love y'all, you know what I'm saying, and everybody, please stay safe. I was observing some of the brothers from Alabama Projects, Black and all them was up there having a reunion. You know, that's beautiful, man, to see people, you know, we grew up with still living life and living good, you know. So, you know, we want to give our love to everybody tonight. Please, people, be safe. But most importantly, you know, remember, take the time to do something that's going to benefit you in this life as well as the hereafter, and that will benefit your family and will benefit your community and your locality. Please, okay? And remember to always keep Allah first. Okay? Also, before I go, big shout out. Criminal Injustice Reform Network. Criminal Injustice Reform Network. Keep up the good work. We love you all. Good night, everyone, and be safe, okay? Everyone be safe. Assalamu alaikum. Rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.